Shoes.
Recorded live.
The views and opinions of this program are not necessarily the views and opinions of TalkShoe, Jam Radio, TonyHead.com, and its sponsors.
This is Jam Radio Network.
Live from the studios of Savannah, Georgia, this is Nation Talk. Nation Talk is a public affairs program that talks about and deals with issues concerning you.
Updates as the night went on overnight and
I guess originally when this news release was released to the public, it wasn't necessarily supposed to leak out, is what I understand.
Oh, no, it had nothing to do with leaking out or not leaking out. The good news is they are alive and they're well, and all of the LA County Sheriff's Department, law enforcement, and the community at large cares about is finding them. We did, and it was safe and sound. And by the way, if I may, the way that we did find them was that a resident who jogs at that park, who goes and cleans up trash, just kind of a good Samaritan type of individual, saw the news reports, you guys, the broadcast, and he said, wait a minute, here they are. He called us, and we immediately responded, and that was about 11:30 today. And if I may characterize those letters that were left behind, if you read them, which I have, they read almost like a will and testament. Right now, the leader, the cult-like leader, she's a bit confused. So we're going to send her for further evaluation. She seems to be denying who she is. We understand that. So she's going to go for further psychological evaluation. A couple of other of the people that were there today have come in to voluntarily talk to our investigators to try to illuminate a little farther as to what exactly went down. But timeline, 1 a.m. Saturday morning, 3 a.m. spotted by a deputy, 1:45 Saturday afternoon, they were reported missing.
Right.
The husband's father saying, we're concerned.
I understand that two husbands actually reported the group missing after one of the wives left a purse containing all their IDs, their cell phones, and those letters that you just mentioned. And in your news conference, you made sure to point out that in nowhere in those letters did they threaten mass suicide. However, the words they used would indicate as such, and that is why you guys went on the belief that perhaps a potential mass suicide was in the works. The letters essentially stated that they were all, and I'm quoting, going to heaven shortly to meet Jesus and their deceased relatives. Are they commenting on these letters at this point?
No, not at this point. As I say, it's going on right now. And that was an interpretation. If you read those letters, you can read into that. That's exactly what they may have meant. Those are not direct quotes. But, yes, we were concerned. Coupled with the two fathers coming in and saying they may be under the spell, words they used, of this individual, reading and seeing the documents, legal documents, letters, cash, and in the letters, would you please give this money to so-and-so and have them use it to their benefit, things like that. Yes, concerned. We responded. The good news today is 11:30. All are accounted for. All seem to be okay.
Okay, but here is the concern among many in the American public. While everyone is so relieved to know that all of these children are safe, most importantly, had these five adults carried out a mass suicide, as police were fearing, what really would have happened is it would have been a mass suicide murder, since there were eight children involved between ages 3 and 17. So my question to you is, why wasn't there ever an Amber Alert issued for the missing children?
Now, that's a very good question, and we'll certainly get to the bottom of that answer. What was sent out was an emergency system alert, alerting the law enforcement community to look for this. Your question is, why wasn't an Amber Alert made public? It's a very good question, and it's certainly going to be followed up. The LA County Sheriff's Department is not in charge of those Amber Alerts, but we're going to find out exactly why not. It's a very good question. The public needs to know, and absolutely has the right to know, when there is the possibility of harm, especially to children. They need to know so they can help us. Here's what's interesting about this. Sans the Amber Alert, the public did know by way of the press, and it was those public announcements, public stories that this individual saw, called us, and 11:30 today, we found them safe and sound. That is the good news today, Sunday, in Palmdale, California.
Will there be any charges brought against the five adults?
Right now, that's under investigation. There's no criminal charges right now, but we need to investigate this further. We are interviewing two of the adults. As I said, the cult-like leader is going to be go for psychological evaluation. She's going to be in a confined environment. There may be some charges that come forward. We have to investigate this. Obviously, we're going to follow the law. Needless to say, I don't need to say that, but I will. But right now, the point is, what did happen exactly? So we're going to find that out.
Were they all women?
The adults were, I believe there may have been a young man, but there were three sisters. So there may have been a young man and then another woman, the leader. So we have to, once again, that all has to be ferreted out, if you will. There were 8 kids between the ages of 3 and 17. Also, there were dogs. They were in these 3 vehicles. And today, when we came upon them, they were sitting on blankets. Some of the kids were playing. And when we came upon them, they said they were okay. They were startled. And so we're gonna find out more as the hours go by.
Was anything found in their vehicles that would indicate that they were going to bring harm to themselves or to those innocent children?
No, not at this time.
So then, at this point, what is the next step in the investigation? I understand that you're speaking with the adults, but bottom line here is, if two husbands who know their wives well, know the wives better than you guys do, managed to call police, obviously they felt something was wrong, that something was amiss, that they didn't just leave their cell phones behind because they planned on coming back for them. Do you feel that you did, and whoever found them did actually stop a mass suicide from happening?
Oh, I don't want to speculate on that. The good news is that they're alive and well. And what I will tell you is that the days and hours to come, Department of Family Services will obviously check on the well-being of these children. That's essentially, and that's the essence of this, to make sure those kids, as we move forward, are going to be okay. There may be some restraining orders. There may be other stuff that happened. There may be charges. But let's wait and see, as we move forward, what exactly is going to happen. And we will certainly let you know when we know.
All right, please do. We look forward to hearing.
I see a lot of teeth that look great until I look at the gum line. The problem is you can have plaque along your gum line that can lead to gingivitis. In fact, 1 in 2 adults actually have gingivitis and might not even know it. That's why I recommend New Crest Pro Health Clinical Gum Protection Toothpaste. It helps remove plaque at the gum line, helping prevent gingivitis. And it's been clinically proven to help reverse it in just 4 weeks. It also protects these other areas dentists check most. New Crest Pro Health Clinical Toothpaste for healthier gums.
We do know right now, and I think this is important to note. Really? Ladies and gentlemen, we just found them. Yes, they're alive and well, and they are at a park here in the Antelope Valley. They're at Jackie Robinson Park, and they are alive and well. I was just given that update. That is the best news of the day. They were just found, discovered alive and well at Jackie Robinson Park. That's here in the Palmdale area. And they are alive and well. Yes. It is the best news of the day. Thank you all.
Can I have the toy?
Please hold. Current wait time, 5 hours.
Even kids know what's wrong to give someone the runaround. At Ally Bank, you can always talk to a real person 24/7. It's just the right thing to do.
Family and friends gathered this morning to honor a local Marine killed in Afghanistan. Gunnery Sergeant Floyd Holly of Castleberry died on August 29th while fighting in Helmand Province. He was remembered for his brave actions on the front lines.
Through the perilous fight.
As a family friend sings the national anthem,
better yet wait.
The fallen soldier battle cross is a visible reminder of Gunnery Sergeant Floyd Holly, a pair of combat boots, an inverted rifle, and Gunnery Sergeant Holly's hat. His friends took the stage to share stories about him.
He was the best man I've ever known in my entire life.
But his best friend, Sean Whitaker, says his fallen Marine changed his life.
He's the kind of guy, he left a legacy for us, and for the rest of my life, I'm indebted to him.
Gunnery Sergeant Holly was assigned to the 7th Engineer Support Battalion, 1st Marine Logistics Group. His job was to defuse roadside bombs, and he was good at it.
When someone sees or actually hears about what Floyd did, you know, serving in the military for 16 years, 3 tours, you know, he disarmed like close to 275 bombs. That's amazing. It's surreal.
But one of those bombs, an improvised explosive device, ended up killing him. Gunnery Sergeant Holly's funeral was held in California, but his friends wanted to celebrate his life at Lyman High School in Longwood, where he was a linebacker on the football team.
We're just trying to, you know, give him closure to and kind of celebrate Floyd's life and what he stood for.
Gunnery Sergeant Floyd Holly was a recipient of numerous awards, including the Purple Heart, to honor his legacy.
Marvin and Tony, they put it in a hole.
His friends and family planted a tree at his high school, a place where some saw him last, and others hope his legacy will last forever.
He just was a great guy, and tonight, I just sit there and see all the people walking on in, you know, it's amazing. It kind of shows the kind of person he was.
Gunnery Sergeant Holly.
Mouth is amazing. Did you know up to 50% of new cavities form between... teeth in places you can't even see. Aquafresh Isoactive Whitening is a breakthrough gel that transforms... into an active foam. Its active fluoride formula penetrates deep, surrounding and protecting the whole tooth against cavities, front, back, and in between. For strong, healthy teeth for a lifetime, try Triple Protection Isoactive Whitening from Aquafresh. Amazing.
Days after her release from Iranian detention, Sarah Shore returns to the United States, but she says it is no time for celebration. Shore was held in Iran along with American Shane Bauer and Josh Patel since July 2009 on espionage charges. Both men are still imprisoned in Iran.
This is not the time to celebrate. My disappointment in not sharing this with Shane and Josh was crushing. And I stand before you today only one-third free.
Short said the three were on a mountain hike in northern Iraq when they were arrested in Iran.
Shane and Josh do not deserve to be in prison one day longer than I was. We committed no crime, and we are not spies. We in no way intended any harm to the Iranian government or its people, and believe a huge misunderstanding led to our detention and prolonged imprisonment.
Shore's release comes as Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is in New York to attend the annual UN General Assembly meeting. In a television interview on Sunday, he called on the U.S. to release 8 Iranians who he said were being held illegally.
I believe that our tragedy is an opportunity for Americans and Iranians to realize that an improved relationship would be in the best interest for all people.
More of Nation Talk right after this.
Kinds of excuses for not saving energy. I didn't plug it in. I'll turn it off later. It's not my music. It's just one phone charger. So we don't have those Energy Star appliances. So that old window leaks. How much energy and money could the new ones really save? Maybe it's time to stop making excuses and start doing some simple things to save the energy and resources we can. Because a little here and a little there can add up to a lot later, and you just never know what people will need in the future. My name is Sarah, and I'm going to get started today.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and the station.
In times like these, violence in our schools is a reality. So it's important to know how to prevent such tragedies from happening. Talk to your kids. Explain to them the dangers of weapons at school. And tell them that if they see a student with a weapon or even hear someone talking about having one, they need to report it immediately. Tell them if something doesn't look right or seem right to you, speak up. Get to know who your child is spending time with and where they are at all times. If you notice that your child has sudden mood or behavior changes, or seems to always be angry or sad, talk to a teacher, administrator, or medical professional. Be a role model for them and settle your own conflicts without resorting to violence. School should be a safe place for our children. We all need to work together to keep it that way. Let's put an end to these tragedies. Ask your school to adopt an anti-violence program. Visit ncpc.org to learn more on how to keep our children safe. That's ncpc.org.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Looking for a lift? Experience a seat from the soar with Michael Guido of Metter, Georgia.
A London church bears this sign: not everyone who attends this church is converted. Watch your handbags. Some church members profess one thing but practice another. But when one becomes a Christian, he never forgets the reverence due to God, the rights due to man, and the respect due to self. The Christian life is no mere church-going, hymn-singing, escape from the obligations of life. It's real, and it shows its influence in your life. The Bible, in describing a Christian, says he keeps his promise, even if it ruins him.
For your free copy of Dr. Guido's daily devotional, Seeds from the Sower, write The Sower, Metter, Georgia, 30439.
Visit us on the web at thesower.com.
This is Jam Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome to another Sunday evening of Nation Talk. I'm Mr. Kill Jenkins. Thank you for listening. Tonight we're going to be talking about religious tolerance and intolerance. And what does it mean? The number to call is 1-724-444-7444. Call ID number 55519#. Now, let me give you a definition of religious tolerance. The condition of accepting or permitting others' religious belief and practices which disagrees with one's own. In a country with a state religion, tolerance means that the government permits religious practices of other sects, SECTS, besides the state religion, and does not persecute believers in other faiths. It is a practical status and might still be accompanied by forms of religious discrimination. That's what religious tolerance is. And religious intolerance is intolerance against another's religion, beliefs, or practices are correct, and any contrary beliefs incorrect does not in itself constitute intolerance, such as idolatrical intolerance. Excuse me. That's what religious intolerance is. The reason for this program is because of all that's been going on with the all that's been going on with the mosque going up and everything. I thought it would be interesting to find out what other people's views are. Here's a conversation on The View, Whoopi Goldberg on religious tolerance. Give a listen to this.
British teacher who is possibly going to be stoned or lashed.
A woman.
A woman.
Yeah.
Because in her class they had some teddy bears, and she, one of the kids wanted to name his teddy bear Muhammad, and she said fine. Apparently other children complained to their parents, which is how it ended up in the hands of the religious leaders. And the religious leaders were very, very upset. Now, do you think
they're ready to really?
They're ready to arrest her. It is
yeah.
a huge thing.
A lot of Muhammads, though, in that part of the world.
Yes, but they're people and not animals.
Right. But this wasn't even an animal. This is a stuffed toy.
Yes, this is a stuffed
toy.
But
I think it's like sacrilegious to name a stuffed toy Muhammad. But you know, you would think that with her being in Sudan, she would know the rules and customs. I know I performed stand-up in Turkey, and they gave me a big, thick packet on the customs and what you could and could not do and how you would offend people. So I'm surprised that she didn't know that might be offensive.
Yeah, because you think if you're going overseas, I mean, we had this discussion yesterday about people coming to America and learning the customs and knowing what is cool and what isn't cool. And, but I find that maybe we are not, and I say we, just as European and American, we're not as anxious to learn the customs before we go places. It's just one of the reasons we are always called the ugly Americans.
Heard that was Whoopi Goldberg in a discussion she had with on The View about religious tolerance. And I put this commercial up. It was a commercial. I'm going to play it again. It's a commercial for Monks Without Borders. Monks Without Borders. Check this. Check it out. Check it out again. Yes, Monks Without Borders are monkswithoutborders.org. Check out that's there. There was a TV commercial they had that was produced last January. As I said, this whole religious tolerance and intolerance has been going on since mosque thing was going on at 9/11 site, at 9/11 site. What's your views on it? And tell us what you think about it. We're gonna come back and talk some more about this, and give you my views on it. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is Nation Talk.
Visit ncpc.org to learn more on how to keep our children safe.
That's nctc.org.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Looking for a lift? Experience a seat from the sewer with Michael Guido of Metter, Georgia.
A London church bears this sign: not everyone who attends this church is converted. Watch your handbags. Some church members profess one thing but practice another. But when one becomes a Christian, he never forgets the reverence due to God, the rights due to man, and the respect due to self. The Christian life is no mere church going, hymns singing, escape from the obligations of life. It's real, and it shows its influence in your life. The Bible, in describing a Christian, says he keeps his promise, even if it ruins him.
For your free copy of Dr. Guido's daily devotional, Seeds from the Sower, write The Sower, Metter, Georgia, 30439.
Visit us on the web at thesower.com.
This is Jam Radio Network.
Nation Talk. Welcome back to Nation Talk. Our Sunday evening forum where we talk about issues and deal with issues concerning you. By the way, you could go to sodahead.com for our forum on sodahead.com, which is sodahead.com/united-states/nation-talk/group-19851/. That's Nation Talk on sodahead.com. That was a nice song. That's a nice song by Elton John. It's called Believe. Nice song. That's a real nice song. I like that. That's one of the cuts I like from his CD. Let's see now. Okay, the Constitution says for this country, Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion or prohibit the free exercise thereof. Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's in the First Amendment of the Constitution. This was the first 10 Amendments Bill of Rights that was ratified effectively December 15, 1791. But does that mean all religions? Does that actually mean all religions, including all religions? That's what I'm wondering. Guess two, hello and welcome. You're welcome to call in. 1-724-444-7444. Call ID number 555-19#. We're talking about religious tolerance and intolerance. What is tolerable in this country? Should we tolerate a group like the Radical Muslims. Okay, well, you can just call it on the telephone. You can just call it on the telephone. That's fine if you wish to do that. You don't have a mic, just call on the telephone. That's fine with me. Should America tolerate a radical movement like the Muslims? Oh, you're Brazil. Okay. Should they tolerate a radical movement like the Muslims to put up a mosque in Ground Zero? Let me ask you, guess two. Does the Brazilian government allow Muslims in their country? I'm curious. I'm just wondering. Do they allow Muslims in? Do you all have Muslims? Because if they do have Muslims in your country, okay. So from what I've heard, I was listening to a program which tolerate every religion. Okay. Yeah, but the Brazilians tolerate all religions. We tolerate that too. But we have we tolerate it because constitutionally, because of the Constitution, we tolerate it. We do tolerate it. Oh, you've been in a mosque? Okay. Guess who said they've been in a mosque? How many mosques do they have in Brazil? And attended a lecture by an imam. How many mosques do they have in the part of Brazil that you're in? Just out of curiosity, how many mosques are there? I'll wait on your answer. Because we have many mosques here in the United States. In fact, if I was told that there are more Muslims, that there's starting to be more Muslims in this country. Guess who says, in my town, we have only one mosque. So there's must be a good bit of Muslims in your country with that one mosque, or maybe a handful of Muslims in your town. Yes, it's misrepresentation. The radical of the Islam. Now, I'm giving my opinion of Islam. I'm a Christian, and they have radical movements. Yeah, they do have radical movements. My take on Muslims, on Islam, is I don't believe what they believe. I'm a Christian. What Christians believe, we believe differently from what they believe. They take certain parts of the Old Testament, incorporate it into their belief in the Quran. Are you concerned with Muslims? Yes. I'm concerned that there are too many Muslims, that they have too many Muslims and I tell you this way, they're converting more Muslims than they do Christians. It's a big concern to me. Why is so many Muslims? Why so many Muslims? One of these weeks I'm going to explore that. Probably the week after next, maybe a couple of weeks from now, I'm going to explore Islam. I'm going to explore this subject on Islam. I'm going to actually explore it. And if you know anybody who's who is of the Islamic faith, I'm asking them to come on to talk to me about their faith or their religion or whatever they call it. I don't consider it a faith. I don't consider it a religion. Do you believe that the Muslims did 9/11? Yes. I believe they did, especially the radical Muslims. That's what I believe. I believe they were responsible for 9/11. I really do believe they're definitely responsible for 9/11. That's why they should not build a mosque near Ground Zero, because it is, and I said it a few weeks ago, and I say it again, and I will continue saying it, it is a slap in the face to those 2,000 or so people who died or perished in that, who perished there. Did you watch the movie Zygocide? No, I haven't seen the movie. I have not seen the movie. I haven't seen the movie about that. The movie, the movement itself is destructive. Now, somebody's convinced me that not all Muslims are. Hopefully I will get a chance to see it. You'll see the movie, Zygocide. Hopefully I will. Excuse me. There are so many. I was listening to this Saturday on Aaron Barr's show on the Voices of Truth. That there are more Muslims and on this, there's more Muslims converted Muslims than Christians. Do you believe all Muslims are evil? Yes, because they don't believe what I believe. They don't believe what I believe. That's why I say it's evil. And I believe that the Muslim faith of Islam is a cult. I believe it's a cult. That's what I believe. Gave me a YouTube, and I'm clicking on it now to watch. Okay, it's going here. And I'm going to put the mic up on the speaker and let you. And I appreciate this guest, too. Thank you for. Thank you. For bringing this to my attention. Okay, here it is. This is the one you pull up on.
The voices begin to investigate. What we think we understand, where we came from.
It's going to be a little delayed, so just bear with me. Just bear with the video. Just bear with it, the audio.
From what we think we're doing, the more you begin to see we've been lied to. We've been lied to by every institution. What makes you think for 1 minute? That the religious institution is the only one that's never been touched. The religious institutions of this world. Are at the bottom of the dirt. The religious institutions in this world are put there by the
okay.
Same people who gave you your government, your corrupt education, to set up your international banking cartels, because our masters don't give a damn about you or your family. All they care about.
There's a delay, so just bear with it.
Is what they have always cared about, and that's controlling the whole damn world. We have been misled away from the true and divine presence in the universe that men have called God. I don't know what God is, but I know what he isn't. And unless... until you are prepared to look at the whole truth, and wherever it may go, whoever it may lead to, if you want to look the other way or if you want to play favorites, then somewhere along the line you're going to find out you're messing with divine justice.
I have a certain delay here.
Torture and anguish, where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time.
But he loves you.
Sometimes it's somewhat delayed, but I get the point where he's wasn't able to play the whole thing. Yeah, you could call in if you have Skype, you can call in. What you just heard was Jordan Maxwell, and he was talking about going to secret societies, religious. This is guest two from Brazil is giving me this, gave me this, the YouTube site to this. Yes, you can call in. If you got Skype, you can call in. That's fine. Skype will pick up. We can talk through Skype. That's fine with me. You can call in through Skype. That's fine. I was giving you a definition of religious tolerance. This is what we're talking about, religious tolerance and religious intolerance. What religious tolerance and what religious intolerance is. And we repeat it for those of you who didn't, for the benefit of guests too who didn't hear it. And while you call in, you could be listening in on this, and you can pick up where we left off at when you call in. And I'll, of course, I'm accepting your phone calls at 172-444-3444. Hopefully, you can get in during the next hour. I'm gonna give you this definition, and then we're gonna take a break at the top of the. By the top of the hour, I'll be ready for you by the top of the hour. Okay, all right. Religious tolerance: the condition of accepting or permitting others' religion, beliefs, and practices which disagrees with one's own. And that's what our country does. In a country with a state religion, we don't have a state religion. That's countries like in. What and say where I enter the caller ID. When you call in, you'll listen to the prompts. They'll tell you, they'll tell you to call in, to put in the caller ID number, which is 55519, and then pound, and then push one, and then it says give you your number there. It says push one, and then I'll be able to, then I'll see you in the chat room. I'll know that you call in the chat room. I'll know that you did call in. Okay, and we'll pick up our conversation at the top of the hour. Who was I? Oh, religious tolerance. The condition of accepting or permitting others' religious beliefs and practices which disagree with one's own. In a country with a state religion, which won't have a state religion, that's in Iran, Iraq, things like other countries like that. Tolerance means that the government permits religious practices of other sects besides the state religion and does not persecute believers in other faiths. It is a practical status and might still be accompanied by forms of religious discrimination. Okay? Religious intolerance is intolerance against another's religious beliefs or practices are correct, and any contrary beliefs incorrect does not in itself constitutes intolerance. Identical intolerance. That's what the two definitions mean. That's what we got the definitions there. What do you think? Is America intolerant or they're tolerant or they have tolerance? We'll be back at the top of the hour. Your conversation and phone calls.
This is Jam Radio Network.
Close your eyes in Chicago, and you can hear the sound of zebra braying in Africa. Look hard out your window in D.C., and you can see the snow-covered peaks of the Andes. Stand on a corner in L.A. and feel the hot wind of the Sahara brush across your face. The world is that small. We are that connected. Please visit earthshare.org and learn how the world's leading environmental groups are working together, making it so simple for you to make a difference. Because we are many, and we are one. Please visit us at earthshare.org to learn more. EarthShare. One environment. One simple way to care for it all. A public service message from EarthShare and the Ad Council.
Citizens of America, this is a message from FeedThePig.org. Americans spent more money than they earned in 2005. This is the first negative savings rate in the U.S. since the Great Depression. America, we must start feeding the pig. On the 1st and the 15th, we must pay ourselves before we pay anyone or anything. We must make a budget. Even consider cutting up a credit card. Log on to FeedThePig.org today. Find the benefits of saving for every stage of life. Brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
People have all kinds of excuses for not saving energy. I didn't plug it in. I'll turn it off later. It's not my music. It's just one phone charger. So we don't have those Energy Star appliances. So that old window leaks. How much energy and money could the new ones really save? Maybe it's time to stop making excuses and start doing some simple things to save the energy and resources we can. Because a little here and a little there can add up to a lot. I'm going to get started today.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and the station.
The views and opinions of this program are not necessarily the views or opinions of Jam Radio Productions, TalkShoe, SodaHead.com, and its sponsors.
America and learning the customs and knowing what is cool and what isn't cool. And
right.
But I find that maybe we are not, and I say we, just as European and American, we are not as anxious to learn the customs before we go places. It's just one of the reasons we are always called the ugly American.
Okay, now here's a question that came out. Someone asked, and they asked this person, what is religious tolerance? Here's their answer.
What do you think of when you hear the word religion?
Religion? I think of it more as a personal choice for people to, you know, decide whether they want to have faith in something. Religion isn't necessarily a way to define yourself, but it is a way that you can, you know, express your faith.
God.
Christ.
Awkward.
I think of Christianity, I guess, is like the first thing I think of because I used to be Christian. The first thing that comes to my head.
Okay.
But just in general, conflict.
I think of just a system of, for whoever it is, just their system of belief, whatever God they believe in.
I think of my religion. I think of being Jewish. I think of going to Texas A&M and knowing that very few people know about my religion.
Religion, mostly the practices related to the belief system, not the actual belief system.
And what does religion mean to you?
The question is, what does religion mean to you? This is, they're asking different questions. They ask different answers to this question with religion. What religion means to them. And I like these, some of these answers. Let me go back to some of these answers.
Believe whatever God they believe in.
I think of my religion. I think of being Jewish. I think of going to Texas A&M and knowing that very few people know about my religion.
Religion, mostly the practices related to the belief system, not the actual belief system.
And what does religion mean to you?
At this point, not a great deal because I'm not very organized in sort of practice. I feel religion is more the structure of faith, not faith itself.
My religion means to me that
I need to keep my tradition and beliefs alive.
Great humanity.
I guess I think of it more as the way people, you know, define the way they think. I'd like to say that I heard the quote a few years ago that God created faith, but Satan created religion. And I have to say, I kind of tend to agree with that, especially in light of recent events. So religion to me, I guess, seems almost like a restriction, whereas I just want to have my faith.
For me.
Now, what I believe is that I pretty much believe that I agree with what she says that I have a faith, not religion, but a faith. My faith is Christianity. Christian is being a Christian. That's my faith, being a Christian. Not religion, but a faith. That's what I believe. That's what my wife and I believe. We are Christians. We believe in Christ. We believe in God. We believe in Christ. We believe in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what we believe. That's what we believe. We both are missionary Baptists. Both are missionary Baptists. The Baptist is a faith. That's what we believe. We're missionary Baptists. That's what our faith is. Not a religion, but our faith. A lot of times when you get these applications to ask you what your religion is, but they always ask what your religion is, or where's your religion, and when people ask what my religion is, I tell them my religious belief is Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm not. If this is more of a spiritual, it's more spiritual than anything. That's what I believe. But that's what I believe. That's what I believe. I don't believe it's a religion. It's a faith. It's more of a faith than a religion. Let's go back to this conversation here and listen to some more. This is interesting. This is very interesting answers here we got here.
For me, it's just what I based my everyday life on. It's the background of everything I do. It's very important.
Not a lot.
Okay. And how do you feel about religious tolerance in education?
I think that it should be taught that all religions and like beliefs should be tolerated and valued and respected, but I think that there's a place, you know, for religion. I don't think it's like it should be tolerated in a science class or one person. I mean, in a philosophy or religious studies class, I'm sure there should be religious tolerance.
That was an interesting thought. Let me go back to what she said. Okay. And there have been some and I've been to college. When I was in college, we had this big discussion, and I believe it was in world history. I think it was in world history class. We had this big discussion on religious faith and the different. And we had this Muslim guy. that was there, and he had this big production to do about it, and we had this big discussion on it, and I'm like, oh gosh, it got to be ridiculous. So I don't know, it's all what you believe. America is religious tolerant because because of the Constitution and because of the First Amendment, that Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion for prohibiting the free exercise thereof, which we practice that here in America. That's what we practice. There's so many different religious faiths in this country. We got Christians, you got atheists, you got your Muslims, you got your Mormon. I mean, it's a smorgasbord of religious faiths in one country versus when in another country they have like one particular faith, which is like, for example, they got Muslim or Islam. They have like one faith, that which is Islam. And if you don't believe in Islam, then you'll be doomed, or however they say, whatever, you know, about it. You know, whatever they believe, whatever, you know. So it's ridiculous. I still don't believe what they believe. I'm still lost about that, about what they believe. Let's continue listening to some more of this. I got just a little bit more of this. You know, we're going to listen to another soundbite of an interview that I found. So let's listen to some more of this.
I think it's so much a part of our world that it should be part of our education. And I'm a Christian myself, but I believe that Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism and Christianity, it should be all incorporated together. Whether we like it or not, we all live in the
My opinion, no. I just don't agree. Let's continue.
Feel that you're seeing each other and interact and work together. So I'm all for it.
I wish that they would put it back in school. Because that's the way I was raised with, and I think it will make a lot better adults.
I agree. They should put it back in the school system. They should put it back in the school system because that's how I was raised. We used to have a prayer. We used to have prayer in the morning. During the sermons, we'll have a prayer. We would read the scripture. That's how we used to do it. That's how we used to do it in school. But now, you can't even do that anymore. That's against the law to do that. Let's listen to an interview on religious tolerance on the 9/11 anniversary. Interesting interview. Very interesting interview here.
Is this Saturday, and in light of the recent mosque controversy, tensions are very high. Many mosques across the country are increasing security in response to the announcement of protests. But should Americans be practicing religious tolerance on this day instead?
Joining us now is Fox News religion correspondent Father Jonathan Morris to talk about it. Morning, Father.
Good morning.
So there seems to be this bit of tension across the United States right now. In certain quarters, we've got the Ground Zero mosque protests, we've got the end of Ramadan, and we've got this seemingly
September 11th.
And September 11th. Talk about religious tolerance at this time. How should we be responding?
I think there really is a lot of tension. There's a lot of tension, no doubt. And I think there's a lot of people saying, so what do we do about it? I want to do something. There's something wrong with this, but at the same time, there are real dangers in our country. The good news is that in other times of history, as we were talking before during the break, Clayton, in other times in the history of the United States, there was a lot more religious tension, and we've gotten through it. My church, for example, in Lower Manhattan, it's got a 12-foot brick wall all around it because during the 1840s, there were people wanting to burn down the church because there was such anti-Catholicism. There's been major, major challenges that we've overcome.
There's also a strange coincidence that's happening this September 11th, where the Muslim holiday that marks the end of Ramadan happens to fall on September 11th, so Muslims are worried that the festivities that they'll be having, the celebrations they'll be having, will be misinterpreted. So it sounds like it's going to involve some religious education this year as well.
What I think we have to do, Allison, is to avoid any sort of images or groupings of people that could then be put out on the web and be misinterpreted as anger or hatred. There's all sorts of examples of people wanting to do it right now. Let me just tell you a little story about right after 9/11, something that my mother did, okay, which had a big impact on our family, and I think they repeat it. There was a woman in our neighborhood in the Midwest who wore a burqa. And after September 11th, my mom went and knocked on her door and said, I just want to introduce myself. I'm sure this is a tough time for you. I have great respect for the way you raise your family. Let's get to know each other. And they became great friends. It's that type of thing in our local community saying, let's get to know each other. It doesn't mean there's no dangers. It doesn't mean, therefore, Islam is the perfect religion. No. Stepping out and actually having conversations. It's a great way, I believe, to diffuse tensions during these tough times.
That's wonderful. And at your personal level, just doing it, at that organic level, that's really nice, Father.
Okay, now, let's move on word here. Before I play the one about the golden rule, let's hear from the president what his thoughts were on the burning, on the Quran burning. This is what the president has said.
let me ask you about Pastor Terry Jones. He gave a press conference today. Says he's going to go through with burning the Korans. Is there anything you can say to him to convince him not to?
If he's listening, I just hope he understands that what he's proposing to do is completely contrary to our values as Americans. That this country has been built on the notions of religious freedom and religious tolerance. And as a very practical matter, as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of the United States, I just want him to understand that this stunt that he is talking about pulling could greatly endanger our young men and women in uniform who are in Iraq, who are in Afghanistan. We're already seeing protests against Americans just by the mere threat that he's making.
What are you worried about?
Well, look, this is a recruitment bonanza for Al-Qaeda. You could have serious violence in places like Pakistan or Afghanistan. This could increase the recruitment of individuals who'd be willing to blow themselves up in American cities or European cities. I just hope that he says he's someone who is motivated by his faith.
And he says he's praying on it.
Yeah, I hope he listens to those better angels and understands that that this is a destructive act that he's engaging in.
I wonder what this must feel like from behind your desk. You're president of the United States. You have to deal with the fallout. And he's a pastor who's got 30 followers in his church. Does it make you feel, I don't know, helpless or angry?
It is frustrating. Now, on the other hand, we are a government of laws, and so we have to abide by those laws. My understanding is that he can be cited for public burning, but that's the extent of the laws that we have available to us. Part of this country's history is people doing destructive or offensive or harmful things, and yet we still have to make sure that we're following the laws, and that's part of what I love about this country.
You can see how sobering this is.
Sure.
To the president. Now we've had General Petraeus, Hillary Clinton, the president, all speak out trying to stop this, even as you pointed out earlier, Sarah Palin weighing in as well.
And
all right. Now, this is what they was talking about. Those of you who didn't get a chance to hear open sleep lately, this is what they was talking about. About the pastor who talks about burning the Korans.
We canceled it based upon his word. I understand that he is now going around saying that he did not say that. That is absolutely not true. That is absolutely, I have several witnesses that were there in the room. We made it very clear. He repeated it back that the Iman there in New York said that they would move the mosque. So as of right now, we have just put a temporary hold upon our planned event.
Hello?
Okay, that was his response, and here's the president's response back about doing a news conference about this, about the
idea that we would burn the sacred texts of someone else's religion is contrary to what this country stands for. It's contrary to what this country, this nation was founded on, and my hope is that this individual preys on it and refrains from doing it. But I'm also Commander-in-Chief, and we are seeing today riots in Kabul.
riots in Afghanistan that threaten our young men and women in uniform. And so we've got an obligation to send a very clear message that this kind of behavior or threats of action put our young men and women in harm's way. And it's also the best imaginable recruiting tool for Al-Qaeda. And although this may be one individual in Florida, part of my concern is to make sure that we don't start having a whole bunch of folks all across the country think this is the way to get attention. This is a way of endangering our troops, our sons and daughters. Fathers and mothers, husbands and wives who are sacrificing for us to keep us safe. And you don't play games with that.
Okay, that was the President's reaction to it. Here is the Secretary of State's reaction on what the pastor in Florida. This is her response.
Brings you the very best in premium entertainment. I know I'm a monster.
If you're gonna kill me, please do it fast.
I am reborn!
That's hilarious. Quick question?
Sure.
Shut up.
You love me.
I is afraid. You don't have to worry about me. It's all you want and all the best. Showtime TV at its best. Showtime now, and you can get $25 cash back. Visit sho.com/order or call now.
This morning, a Florida minister refuses to back down in the face of worldwide outrage. The Reverend Terry Jones insists he will burn a Quran this Saturday, the 9th anniversary of 9/11. We're going to talk to him in a moment, but first, CBS News correspondent Kelly Cobiega has the latest.
From his small office in Gainesville, Florida, Pastor Terry Jones hears the worldwide protests building against him. Muslims in Kabul, Afghanistan are burning him in effigy. Fellow evangelical Christians are denouncing him.
You bring dishonor to the name of Jesus Christ.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton singled out Jones and his plan to burn 100 copies of the Quran on the anniversary of 9/11 at a Washington dinner to observe Ramadan.
I am heartened by the clear, unequivocal condemnation of this disrespectful, disgraceful act.
Yet despite mounting pressure, this small-town pastor will not budge. Jones, who keeps a gun at his side because of death threats, insists he is answering a religious calling.
We are speaking to radical Islam, saying we do not want them, their influence, and their Sharia law.
Jones says the only thing that will change his plans is a message from God. Kelly Cobiega, CBS News, Gainesville, Florida.
So that's what's been going. That was the response to the Secretary of State. I do have a caller on the line. Good evening and welcome to Nation Talk. Good morning. Good evening. That is.
Hello, Mr. Jenkins. This is Pastor Martin Luther Drzezinski Linstead. It's been a while since I'd called you, and you've certainly invited me all the time. It's just I've been sort of busy doing other things and working on my program. I call it the Movement Turd, and it's also on TalkShoe.
Right.
And
what are your thoughts on this, on religious tolerance and intolerance? I had a definition. I had two definitions that I found on religious tolerance and religious intolerance. Let me give it to you real quickly. The religious tolerance, okay, the condition of accepting or permitting others' religious beliefs and practices which disagree with one's own. In a country with a state religion, tolerant means that the government permits religious practices of other sects besides the state religion. And does not persecute believers in other faiths. It is a practical status and might still be accompanied by forms of religious discrimination. That's religious tolerant. Now, religious intolerant means intolerance against others' religious belief or practices are correct and any contrary beliefs incorrect does not in itself constitute intolerance, which is ideological intolerance. That this is what I gotten off of off the internet. HelloIronShow.com. Please call in and give us your thoughts as well. What Pastor? What is your thoughts on this? And of course, you know the Constitution says that we have that Congress shall make no laws representing establishment of religion or prohibiting the freedom, the free exercise thereof. What are your thoughts on this, on religious tolerance or intolerance?
I've called it the constipation in the bill of goods. It don't mean crap. Essentially, Zog, or as we call it, Zog Babylon, us Aryan nations types call it Zog Babylon. And by Zog, we mean Zionist-occupied government, which pretty well means that the Jews run it with the aid of Uyghurs, or as we call them, white niggers. Essentially, they don't much care for freedom of religion or anything like that. Pastor Butler, 10 years ago, lost his church to a bunch of California Uyghurs who went ahead and used this stupid crap on behalf of this Jew lover named Morris Dees of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I think I went ahead and explained to you where the notion of religious tolerance first came from. It came from a little thing called the 30 Years' War. And my ancestors, the Linsteads, they were with Gustus Adolphus's army. And what they used to routinely do to these South German Roman Catholics, is that they'd say, okay, you Catholics believe that, you know, believe in, you know, turning wine into blood and the body into the body, you know, bread into the body of Christ. Well, let's just go ahead, and they'd piss and shit in a tin bucket, and they'd boil it, and then they'd funnel that boiling piss and shit right down, you know, our Roman Catholic priest or peasant's throat. And most of them didn't have enough faith to go ahead and turn it to the blood and body of Christ. And essentially, you know, if you were a Lutheran and you got caught by Roman Catholics, you were treated pretty badly too and burned at the stake. And there wasn't any religious tolerance until essentially both sides were managed to go ahead and kill the other when they get around. And that's what I see as the religious tolerance of the future in America. When I was, you know, locked up at the nut house, this Roman Catholic bitch, Jane Smith, went ahead and formed an illegal ecclesiastical court and determined that dual seed line Christian identity was not a state recognized religion, even though I had gone ahead and asked for recognition of my church. So essentially, the government does not give a crap about religious tolerance, and it never did. Now, that particular pastor named Jones, he was just a tard. He was just a tard who'd go ahead and play this little game of nothing's going to go ahead and make me back down on burning the Koran. Essentially, they went ahead and gave him a song and a dance, and they're probably talking about actually arresting him for going ahead and burning the Koran.
Well, would you do it?
Hmm?
Would you burn the Koran?
Well, the thing about it is, A, I don't have a Koran, you know. I mean, I might go ahead and burn it, but, you know, I might. But I'd say probably on September 11th, if I was going to go ahead and burn and piss and shit on anything, it'd be a copy of the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Goods, not the Koran. I mean, as I look at it, Muslims, you know, Muslims being mainly non-white, don't belong in this country in the first place, so therefore it shouldn't be a matter of whether or not they put a mosque, because essentially they're not here. They shouldn't be in this country to even go ahead and worship, you know, their, you know, whatever little god. But generally, most Jews and Uyghurs, as they look at it, a good Muslim is a Muslim that comes over this country and invades it, and a bad Muslim is a Muslim who lives in Iraq or Iran or Palestine, and simply doesn't want anything to do with the United States at all. And I look at them as being good Muslims who can pretty well, you know, follow Sharia law and do whatever they want in their own country. And if I go to their country, it'll be as a tourist, not as somebody who's trying to tell them how to live or trying to convert them to Christianity or anything like that here. I'm a guest in their country, and therefore I'll behave myself. And second of all, I have no intention of going ahead. And as far as I'm concerned, Christianity is a white man's religion. It's not meant for non-whites at all, so I have no intention of converting them to anything.
Okay, let me get opposing. I got opposing view here. I got opposing view here. Johnny.
Hey, what's up?
Okay, what do you think about religious tolerance and intolerance?
Well, as far as America is concerned, America's freedom of religion. I mean, America is not a religious institution. America is a institution of government and freedom, democracy. It's not a Christian institution. It's an institution that allows Christianity to flourish and would allow other religions at the same time. You were talking about earlier, the separation of church and state, neither promotes nor disallows. That's essentially what the liberals call the separation of church and state, and it really makes the government neutral when it comes to religion. So as far as the United States government is concerned, that it's neutral towards religion. But at the same time, I really don't believe that we should allow a mosque to be built at Ground Zero, because for one thing, it's inappropriate, and all it's going to do is stir up a lot of hatred and a lot of animosity, and another thing it does is declare what the Muslims are doing. When they're putting a mosque at Ground Zero, they're planting their flag on America. It's a sign of dominance, of conquer. They're saying, we blew up the towers, and now we're going to set up our mosque here, right where we blew them up. And that's a sign of religious conquest to them, and it shouldn't be allowed by us, simply because, just on the basis that it's extremely inappropriate. And if you ask me, I think that the powers that be have allowed this, and Obama has allowed this to happen, simply to stir up a lot of hatred, just to get us fighting. I think that the powers that be, the evil powers that be, way up high that we don't understand, know about, really want us to fight each other. They want us to hate each other, in order that they can steer us like sheep in the way that they want us to go. If they can just get us fighting with each other, then they can manipulate us and steer us towards that goal that they have for us. So we're really, when we hate each other and we're fighting each other, we're really being manipulated by them, and we're really being fools and sheep that are led to the slaughter.
Pastor Martin,
your
thoughts?
Well, I mean, this is just typical Zoggling Wigger ass clown silliness. I mean, the fact of the matter is,
what about it exactly? Point out a detail that I said that was silliness.
Well, first of all, coming up here about how we were, how the United States was founded as a separation of church and state. The fact of the matter is about every single one of the colonies ended up having an established religion. Now, in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Maine, it was pretty well the Puritan faith.
Yeah, and we are a Christian nation, like it or not.
Hold on.
We are.
Let me just go ahead and finish here. In the case of Rhode Island, Rhode Island was essentially called Rogue's Island, and it was a place where all these people who could not get along, like Roger Williams and Anne Hutchinson. And I could probably tell a story about what ended up happening to Anne Hutchinson, and she got exactly what she deserved. She was an antinomianism who essentially was one of the world's first feminists, and she went ahead, and the Indians asked her to tie up her dogs because they were, you know, the dogs would bark at the Indians, and she did. So then the Indians went ahead and killed and raped and scalped her and her daughter and took her off for slavery, which was what she deserved. In the case of New York, it ended up starting out by Dutchmen, but generally the New Yorkers, you know, then as now, worship money. In the case of Pennsylvania, it was pretty well a place for the Quakers to be. In the case of Maryland, it was a case for the Catholics to be. And in the case of Virginia, North and South Carolina, it was a planter's place where the Church of England, the Anglican faith, was the established faith. And Patrick Henry got into trouble for taking the part of what was called the Parson's Cause because these Baptists wanted to go ahead and preach their particular religion, and the Anglicans didn't much care for that. In the case of Georgia, it was set out first as a penal colony. But in most cases, you ended up having, you know, rather strongly in the case of the New England colonies and rather weakly in the case of, say, New York. But essentially, you were not allowed to be a free thinker and atheist. Thomas Jefferson, who a lot of people go ahead and claim was a free thinker, was pretty well derided, especially as an atheist or a deist or whatever.
Yeah, now, he was.
So the fact of the matter is that there was established religions in the United States. Now, you go on, essentially you sort of believe that the Jews didn't have anything to do with 9/11, which is not what the Muslims believe, and that's not what a good deal of us Christian identity types believe or anything like that here. As a member of a persecuted minority, what happens is that I have gone ahead and been jailed, and I've not been allowed to have my freedom to not be doped up. And essentially, like I was pointing out, is just like in the 30 Years' War, you didn't have any such thing as religious tolerance until after. At the Peace of Westphalia, all these countries which had gone ahead and egged it on decided that they did not want what happened in Germany to come back on them. And that was the foundation of modern religious tolerance and also the foundation of the nation states as we know today.
But promote or deny, that goes way back to the beginning.
To the beginning of where?
Neither promote nor deny a religion. That goes right back to the beginning of America. That's the separation.
We neither promote nor deny. We went ahead and already pointed out that this was altogether a creation of the constipation and the so-called Bill of Goods, and for all practical purposes, it doesn't really mean jack shit today.
So you deny the Constitution?
Well, why do you...
Which he calls the constipation,
I don't agree with. The Bill of Goods.
Because so you deny the Constitution. You don't align with the Constitution.
It sounds to me that you already have a God. It's a piece of toilet paper. Come in to a bunch of masons and lawyers.
No. I just accept that as our American government. I don't worship it. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, sounds to me like you do.
But that's,
you
went
ahead,
no,
you went
I,
ahead,
I said
you went
that.
Ahead.
I said the Constitution is the government. That's what I said. I didn't say it was my God or I worship it. I just said that's what it is.
All right. Well, I've heard. I've been in the Bible movement for 16 years, and I've seen many a patriotard wigger, what I said here. I mean,
well, they go too far with
before
it.
You, huh?
The Constitution has nothing to do with is America. It's got nothing to do with Jesus or God or the afterlife or what you should say
your
sight
on. That's not what the Founding Fellows said. They said America was founded on Christianity. And that pretty well was.
But you have to remember, too, they were Christians in... You got to remember the signers. There were some signers who were Christians. The first signers were Christians.
They were nominal Christians.
They were Christians.
Some were and some weren't.
Yeah, some were and some weren't. But you got some who were.
They came out of the Age of Enlightenment,
right.
The Age of Reason. Came out of. They were a mix of Christians and atheists and deists.
Right.
And the Constitution is what they had envisioned for our government to run by.
Right, right.
You know, we're supposed to be subject.
No. It was just nothing more than a con. It was just nothing more than a way. The founding felons went ahead and kicked out George III so that they could go ahead and establish George I, George Washington. And for all these people who whine about Jews and bankers going ahead and ripping off everything that is red hot or nailed down, it wasn't a year into George Washington's administration when the little half-Jew, Alexander Hamilton, set up the first bank of the United States and pretty well sold it, sold the stock to little Jew bankers, and the purpose of it was to go ahead and steal from the American veterans.
Well, that's
and
true.
Here it is.
That's true.
Here it is.
We need to end the Fed.
So what good was the constipation bill doing? And it wasn't even what.
Well, it's
a
good
decade.
If we would. It's good if.
Well, let me go ahead and finish. It wasn't even a decade when old John Adams went ahead and passed something called the Alien Sedition Act, to where you could and did go to prison if you went ahead and wrote something against the president or the government of the United States. So what good was your precious constipation bill of goods when it was already being used as a scrap of toilet paper, less than within the lifetime of the founding felons who went ahead and said that they worshipped or they would follow that piece of toilet paper?
We don't worship the Constitution. All we do is we go by what the Bible says mostly. Constitution is just a paper that set up laws and things like that. That's all the Constitution is. That's all the Constitution is, because what they want to do is get away from, and you're right, they want to get away from George, the King George. Right, you're right. They did want to get away from King George.
And
now,
they set up another
want to get away from him, and they want to set up their own country. And with laws that it can be more freer, and that way they won't be under the king's thumb. Now that's the reason why they got away from England and they set up country here, they set up shop here in the United States, because we can call it now the United States of America. And the Constitution, it's all the Constitution is a set of laws and to govern by.
A framework.
The country. It's the framework of the country. That's all this is. That's just
right.
All this Constitution is. We don't worship the Constitution. We don't wrap ourselves in the Constitution, but we just obey the laws there. The Bible, we should be wrapping ourselves up in the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, of which we should be wrapping ourselves up in, like a fish, so to speak. So that's what we really should be wrapping ourselves up in instead of the Constitution. The Bible is the one we should be wrapping ourselves up in.
I agree.
Well,
I agree. The Constitution is what we really have today is with the Federal Reserve and the bankers and the
right.
crooked politicians. We
right.
have nothing
the
less than enemies of the Constitution.
Well, they're the ones who went ahead. I went ahead and pointed out it wasn't even 10 years before they violated their precious Constitution.
With the Sedition Act, I know.
Well,
which needs to be repealed.
Then what happens is that, generally I'd go ahead and ask people if they were of a libertarian bent to go ahead and read somebody named Lysander Spooner and the rest, pretty well he said the Constitution was no effect.
But you agree that the Constitution, you agree, though, I think I can tell you agree that the Constitution by itself is a decent document which we could run the government with
if we could get back to it.
Why?
You don't like the Constitution.
It was a piece of toilet paper. It was a piece of crap from day one. Essentially what it did, like my hero Patrick Henry said, it was nothing more than an attempt to go ahead and consolidate under one government. Just like Zog Babylon did. Now,
so the Bill of Rights you would agree with then?
No. It said before the Bill of Rights didn't, prevent, them from going ahead and stumping up charges against me and send me a nut house. And
that is the
me
Bill
up.
Of Rights?
I'll tell you, the Bill of Goods.
So there is no American document that you would approve of?
Well, the thing about it is that generally, I'd support one law, one particular law.
What's that?
Do what thou wilt, Aleister Crowley.
Any policeman who goes ahead and makes an arrest can be executed by anybody he tries to arrest, with or without a warrant. Now, if that policeman wants to go ahead and whine that he's been killed, then what happens is that what he does, he puts up. His family goes ahead and puts up their lives, and so does the judge and the lawyer and the rest, in front of a totally neutral jury. What I believe is that it doesn't matter what the form of government or what the piece of paper is. It altogether matters of what kind of population you have. And you have a degenerate population which is falling apart.
Well, we agree with that. Well, I agree with that. I think me and Ken both agree with that.
But the thing about it is that the constipation and bill of goods doesn't protect anything. All it did was create a regime in which the government does whatever the heck it wants to do. And then claims that it represents the will of the people. I would say that a whole bunch of pissed off people going ahead and skinning alive and bearing the heads of pelts on a pike of regime criminals better represents the population.
Boom, Shakalaka. One thing about this program, we can agree to disagree.
I think we're doing that.
Let me ask you this.
I don't hear the love, though, Pastor.
What happens is that
where's the love of Jesus coming out of you? You're supposed to be preaching the love of Jesus. I don't hear any love coming out of you.
That's what Judeo Whiggers and Zogling Whigger ass clowns preach. I'm a doer.
That's what Jesus preached.
Have you read?
Have you cracked open that New Testament lately?
Well, I mean, come on, preacher.
Please.
Did he read the text?
Well, I'd go ahead and point out that Yahweh doesn't love everybody. And I'd point out in Romans chapter 9.
He doesn't love the wicked.
Well, of course. He don't like the Edomites. He don't like the Jews. And he don't like really anybody who wasn't an Israelite.
What about the children of Israel? They were his people, as bad as they were.
Yes, but you're probably an ass clown who thinks the Jews are God's chosen people, don't you?
I think the tribes of Israel, wherever they are God's chosen.
Well, where are they then?
I don't know where they are.
Well, okay.
They've been kind of scattered, haven't they?
That's why you're not Christian identity. See, a Christian identity says that Northern and Western Europeans are the, quote, lost tribes of the house of Israel.
When the tribes were scattered, they became the Europeans.
Okay.
And they're spread, but they're scattered throughout. Not all of them are God's people, but a lot of them have become the Europeans, right? I agree with that. I mean, that's logic. That's logic.
God said that he would return
them to the land, and many of those people have gone back to Israel, and you have to acknowledge that.
Are you saying the Europeans?
Many of the Europeans that the tribes had they scattered and became Europe. Many of those have returned back to Israel, and you have to acknowledge that. I mean, it's hard, but you have to acknowledge that.
I don't see why I should acknowledge it. Usually, what you see in Israel are a bunch of Khazar kikes, is what you see in Israel.
But God said that they would return home. You can't deny that.
The only Europeans you see in Israel are usually deluded Judeo-Whiggers who are going to the Holy Land to go ahead and benefit the poor little Jews who are God's chosen people, according to Scofield.
But there's wheat among the tares. There's wheat among the tares. You have to acknowledge that.
It sounds to me you're the sort who will go ahead and swallow an entire dumpster of garbage in order to go ahead and save one grape.
That's God's business, not mine.
Well, if it's God's business, then I suppose you shouldn't go ahead and question a good tribulation when it comes to you.
Well, I think the tribulation is upon us, maybe.
Okay. Well, I pretty well preach on my show about the tribulation, and Mr. Jenkins, I mean, You know, generally I wanted to go ahead and have your show become what, you know, somewhat interesting. It looks like you ended up getting a little bit more interest here when I showed up. I had somebody from Christian Identity showed up. I'm not quite sure how he did. I can't seem to access your chat line. But in any case...
Yeah, you won't be able to hear it while you're talking.
No, I'm not able to go ahead and type on the chat line.
Oh.
Well, you should be able to because you should be able to type on it because I see your thing is lit up, so you should be able to type
there. I don't see anything on here. It may be just because of the browser. I have a show called The Movement Turd. It's going to be on in about an hour and 5 minutes, and I sort of need to get ready for it. And
yeah, I want to say one thing before you go. I don't want to say just one little thing before you go. Jesus said that you'll know you're my people will know you're my disciples that you have love for one another. So I want to see a little more love coming out of you, Pastor. Please.
Well, the thing about it is,
try to find an excuse to love somebody.
Well, I love my own kind. I'd also like to go ahead and quote to you Genesis 3:15, saying, "I will put enmity between thy seed and the serpent's seed. The serpent shall bruise thy heel, and you shall bruise his head." So
that's the Proto-Evangelion. That's Jesus and Satan. That's not us.
Huh?
That's the Proto-Evangelion. That's Jesus and
Satan.
Well,
at least you know a little bit about Christianity.
Apparently.
Well, no, not much. Yeah, but at least you know the name of something or another. I'm beginning to think you're a nimbuster or something who's gone ahead and has pretty well crossed me. Anyway,
no, I love you. I'm just quoting Bible stuff.
Yes, I know you love everybody here. You go ahead.
No, I'm a white man. Am I a white man?
Yeah, he's definitely white.
I'd say more like a Whigger here. In any case.
That's just not fair.
By the way, Pastor, want to know, what is a Whigger?
Yeah.
Well, it's short for white nigger. And
okay. So America Voter, you got your. Remember, I was. They typed it in, so I typed it in what was, and I wanted to make sure I was correct. So I was correct.
Generally, when you go ahead and you call someone a Whigger, they go ahead and it's just like someone calling an American in a foreign country a Yankee. If he's from Mississippi, he says, "I'm not no Yankee. That's people from New England." And then somebody from New England says, no, I'm not a Yankee. That's someone from Connecticut or Massachusetts. And then you go to Boston here, and they'll say, no, that's somebody who lives out on a farm, one of these old type here. And then you go to Aurora, and he says, no, all the Yankees, why, they're long dead. And the thing about it is, American Voter, call me a racist, of course I'm a racist. I'm an Aryan Nations minister.
I have on the show before. Go back about a few months ago, and you can listen to the program when I interviewed him. Yeah, he is. He ain't telling no lie. I am a definite racist.
American voter. What I'd like to do is that I hope someday. You are a Whigger, you're a little Moxie and meat Whigger, and what happens, you're running for your life, and Leroy Tyrone Jenkins and my Dick X are going ahead and pursuing you, and they turn
Tyrone
you
Jenkins.
Into a pile of
bullshit.
That would be funny.
Do you think Minister Ken could join your church?
Huh?
Could Minister Ken join your church?
There is no way in hell. You know what I mean? But then again, I'm not asking to join Mr. King, Kenneth Jenkins' church here.
What if he wanted to?
Would
you let him in?
What good would that do him?
I don't know.
Maybe
he could teach you something.
Huh?
Maybe he could show you some love.
It's not gonna go ahead and happen here. The thing about it is Mr. Iron Show Files or something like that. And I've gone ahead and told Mr. Jenkins. that really, if it came down to it, why? I mean, if we had, we already have a racial civil war. If I could go ahead and essentially tell all the Negroes that they can have from what, Georgia to the east bank of the Mississippi, for their own little separate state here, why, and no white man would go ahead and bother them and exploit them like they do, essentially they'd go ahead and accept it. I mean,
Fair, I guess.
Well, I mean, I think it's fair enough, or it doesn't really matter. For me, it's altogether a matter of power. And who's in control.
So you'd let Minister Ken live on the battlefield, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd let Minister Ken live, wouldn't you? I'm hoping you would.
Well, the thing about it is that I don't have any control over what happens in the Great Tribulation, for which I am sort of grateful here. But like I tell people, I think that this Great Tribulation, that 150 million you Uyghurs will die and 140 million MUDs, and that's pretty well all that can be done here, because there's no dealing with, say, American voter or anything like that, because he is a voter. The thing about it is, American voter will go ahead and he'll vote, essentially, to live off the white man or have the white man go ahead and pay for the rest of the stuff. And now Zog is about to go ahead and come a cropper, because there is no money for it. There's no money left here. That's why things are falling apart. In any case,
well, I guess we could agree with that.
Well, Zog is falling apart here. I mean, American voter, he can't, he's yapping about burning in hell. Well, what happens is dual seed line Christianity don't believe in an ever burning hell for mortal people. Only Satan burns in hell forever, in a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. That is the demons here.
No, but people do burn in hell.
I judge you according to the Bible, Pastor, and I think you're missing
mark. No. What happens is that you judge me according to whatever crap you pull out of the Old Testament. You're a value meal.
No, New Testament, New Testament. I mean, I don't see the love.
I know. You're what I end up calling, we're under a new covenant, so you'll end up what I either call a Pentecostal linhead, a Baptist hobbyist, or a new covenant cornholer. One or the other here. I mean, I'm rather blunt here.
Have you read the New Testament, though? It sounds like you've never
read
it.
New Testament. Have you read the Old Testament?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and you pick and choose what you like of it.
No, I don't use the Old Testament for doctrine. My God, we're
supposed
to be Christians.
Essentially, what you do is you pick and choose.
You can't use the Old Testament for doctrine. You can't do it. You have to go under the New Testament.
I suggest you go ahead and read Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 24, when he says, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it."
Right. He did. He fulfilled it.
He went ahead and obeyed. He went ahead and obeyed the law.
Right.
And if you go ahead and look at the New Testament, essentially they went ahead and determined that there was a good deal of division of what do they do with these Greek converts. And essentially they were Israelites, but the thing about it is that there was no need to keep up circumcision at all.
And Truthseeker said that the New Testament.
The New Testament sits on top of the Old Testament.
Right, it's the Old Testament fulfilled.
Yeah, it picks up
what
the Old Testament leaves off.
It
just continues on until the
right.
until Revelation.
But
that's
Jesus
all it
Christ
is.
Said, Jesus Christ said, "Don't think that I've come to destroy the law." See, the thing about it is, even in Romans chapter 9, it goes ahead and says that upon the Israelites' heart, the law is written. And every time I go ahead and see somebody, I've gone ahead and pretty well chewed ass on this, mackerel-snapping Catholic who went ahead and was coming up with the same old crap that the Old Testament's been done away. And I point out is that the reason you do not like Pelagianism and you rather prefer what was called the total degeneracy theory of Augustine of Hippo and of John Calvin / Cullen, the Jew, is because you don't like free will. And the reason you don't like free will is you don't like going ahead and obeying the law. What part of thou shalt not go ahead and lay with other men do you have a problem with?
No, I don't approve of that.
Okay, then. So why in the world are you whining and bitching and moaning and saying that the Old Testament doesn't apply when, if you are an Israelite, it's supposed to be written on your heart?
If the law of Yahweh
is written on your heart, then you shouldn't have a problem with it. All the Old Testament does is just simply make it explicit.
But the New Testament, I mean, the New Testament is that you're supposed to love one. You're supposed to have love for other believers.
It goes ahead.
And there's other
ahead.
Believers that you don't
no,
love.
No. Am I supposed to have love for demons?
No, but you have supposed to have love for fellow Christians.
You're supposed to have love for other people.
Right? You're supposed to have love for Minister Ken. He's a Christian. You're a Christian. You're supposed to love him.
The thing about it is that...
I don't see the love.
Well, the thing about it is Minister Ken here, he belongs in his place, and I belong in mine.
Well, you're both Christians. You're supposed to love each other.
So, in short, where does it say that?
No, I can tell you, in short, you don't love Mr. Ken. Right?
I don't particularly hate Mr. Ken. But it's a little bit much to expect an Aryan Nations archbishop here. To love Negro ministers. Now listen. That's probably a little much, but
you could give it a shot.
Give a link to your show. American Voter. Go over to whitenationalist.org/forum and check out the movement, turd. whitenationalist.org/forum. Okay? So, in any case, if you were to join this church, you'd burn hell. I mean, this is idiocy from some Uyghur. Or it might be idiocy from some Negro or gook here. So the fact of the matter is, Christian Identity says that non-whites were created on the sixth day, and that they're the beasts of the field, and they don't belong, among white people.
Why are we supposed to preach the gospel to all nations, then, if it's only for white men?
But what's the origin of the word Gentile?
The origin of the word Gentile, that's to describe the Greek.
Okay.
But Jesus said to preach the gospel to all nations. All nations.
Well, he also said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, and also in Matthew chapter 15, before he called this Canaanite woman a dog, and said it wasn't right to go ahead and give any of the bread of the house of Israel to the dogs. Jesus Christ said that he was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yeah, but what happened? Jesus healed.
Jesus healed her daughter. Why did he heal her?
And forgave her.
He did forgive her.
He healed her daughter.
She was a Canaanite woman.
Right, but he healed her daughter anyway. Didn't he?
Right. But she wasn't an alum. Therefore, she wasn't sinning. Therefore, there was nothing to forgive. Was it?
No. Her daughter was vexed, and he healed her daughter.
He healed her daughter simply because she came up and admitted, after Christ called her a dog a couple times.
She admitted she was a dog.
She was a dog, right.
Right. But he still healed her daughter.
So what happens if someone goes ahead? If you go ahead, and let's say you see a stray dog, and you go ahead and give it a little bit of food, which is a stupid thing to do because then the dog thinks that it belongs to you. But that isn't exactly the case. The same way with this Canaanite woman. She was a descendant of Canaan, and therefore she was cursed. And therefore she was supposed to be pretty well slaughtered, but they didn't do a good job. And so the curse.
Jesus made a mistake.
You can't have a God and you can't have a Savior who makes a mistake.
So, by all your accounts, he must have made a mistake.
By your account.
You said you're not supposed to feed the dog food.
You're going ahead and saying that my religion says it makes a mistake. Whereas you going ahead and making, essentially, I mean, it's pretty well in most cases an argument to go ahead and be wasting time here. And I'd just soon get back two, the purpose of this show. And the purpose of this show is religious tolerance in America. And what I'm saying is there's no such thing. Essentially,
we shouldn't build a mosque, though, on Ground Zero. I bet we can agree there.
Well, I said before, my solution would be to go ahead and deport all these ragheads, and therefore there wouldn't be any mosque anywhere, much less on Ground Zero.
We can't do it. You know what's going to happen if we put a mosque there, if we let a mosque go up there? Somebody's going to bomb it.
What's it to me? I don't really, you know, I mean, let's say there's rioting and Jews and Arabs, you know, killing each other in New York. What's the downside of that?
I don't even know what to say to that.
Huh? What's the downside of that? Let's say they go ahead and kill a few of you wiggers while we're out of here. There's no downside to that, is there?
Oh,
huh?
You're gonna kill me now? God, that's just not killing the love.
What happens is I'd let you starving wiggers kill each other here.
Okay, all right.
I've been to New York as a truck driver. I didn't much care for it.
I live in Oregon. I don't know nothing about no New York.
Oh well, thing about it is that, you know, they have Mexicans in Oregon, don't they?
Oh, too many.
They've got our jobs
is the only thing that bothers me. I'm all for legal citizens, but they're not legal.
Oh well, if you go ahead and you're a good Democrat like you sound like, all you have to do is just make them legal.
No, they would have had to come in legal in the first place.
Well,
if they didn't come in legal in the first place, they got to go. That's my contention.
Well, the thing about it is they don't belong, illegal or not, in this country. I'd run them all off. But
well, we're a country of all nations.
I give them 30 days to clear out here. Sort of like Edward I, you know, known as Longshanks, did to the Jews in 1290, and like King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella did to the Jews in 1492. Columbus sailed the ocean blue. They also gave the Jews the boot and the dirty Moors too. Here, but boot them all out here. So
I bet if we dug deep enough, we might find some Jews in your family tree.
Hmm.
I bet if we dug deep enough, we could find some Jews in your family tree.
You saw a few black guys too. I mean, the thing about it is that your family tree here, your family tree probably go ahead and see a bunch of hybrid niggers and all sorts of critters here.
Well, we're both Americans. Our family tree is. Yeah, I bet. Are you a genealogist? Do you know? I mean, do you know for sure you've got pure Anglo-Saxon blood going all the way back?
The thing about it is you sound like a Jew yourself. Are you a Jew?
No, I'm asking you.
Are you a Jew by any chance?
My mom and my grandma were both genealogists. There's not a single Jew in my family tree. But
well, how do I know that for sure?
Well, I could prove it to you if I had time. But are you a genealogist? Have you actually looked really far back in your tree?
Huh?
I'm just saying that as Americans, it's pretty uncertain about who's in our family tree as a modern American.
I just go ahead. It reminds me of this Polack who went ahead and called my show, and I just went ahead and told him. You know, he believed in evolution, and I told him that I'm quite pleased. You know why? You're the Polack from Massachusetts who called in.
No, I'm Oregon. I'm a white man from Oregon.
No,
I'm Irish.
No, you're a hybrid nigger from Oregon.
Yeah, Scotch Irish mostly.
Okay. All right. Well, in any case, I don't much care for the hybrid niggers or / Irish, as they call them themselves here.
Anglo-Saxon yourself? Are you really? You're actually English all the way back?
Actually, I'm mainly Swedish with a little bit of Prussian. But
I got Swedish and Norwegian, too. German.
Right. Well,
lots of German.
In any case. I don't see any hope. I don't see any hope for Zog. There's going to be a collapse, and essentially, there's not going to be any great love of anybody because you're going to end up having people clawing and scratching to survive. And like I was trying to go ahead and tell Mr. Kenneth Jenkins about religious tolerance, I went ahead and brought up the 30 Years' War. And, you know, in any case, people generally don't know history, but history is useful for going ahead and looking and seeing what happened in certain situations and thus having somewhat of an idea of what lies in the future. And there's not much future left for Zog because, when even Whiggers are not able to go ahead and are living from day to day, they're not going to go ahead and be able to support all these non-whites, all these Beaners, all these Jews, and the rest. And things will fall apart. It's not going to go ahead and last very much long. And one of the first things that's going to go ahead and fall by the wayside is the pretense of religious tolerance, which was never anything more than a pretense in any case.
Well, with all that being said, that with religious tolerance and intolerance, and I would be, believe it or not, I would like to pick this up again on another Sunday. I mean, this has been really interesting. Very educational, very interesting. for those of you who, you can pick up, in fact, you can go back to this same forum. You can listen to this on the archives, and you can even go to sortahead.com.
They were show number 25. I think it was show number 25.
Well, you could go to nationtalk.com sortahead.com, and you could find this same conversation that you hear on there as well as any other. In fact, go on sortahead.com and you will have comments. You can write a blog. You can comment on blogs that have been placed on there. You can even go back to the archives. You can even go back in the archives and go back and listen. Next week, we're going to talk about, let me get my screen up here for a minute, find what we're going to talk about next week. Next week, we're going to get into, come up here. Poverty in America. That's what we're going to talk about on next weekend. Poverty in America. Inviting everyone to come back to talk about that. We ran a little over, but that's all right. The conversation was getting so good, I did not want to cut it off.
Well, there's no reason. I mean, Talk Show is free. And essentially, I can rant and rave for 4 hours at a time, but I do need to take my leave, Mr. Jenkins. I mean, nothing personal, and I'm glad that I went ahead and helped make your show sort of interesting. You have a good one.
He had a program tonight, right?
Yeah, I have a program in what about 45 minutes. It never starts on time, but I have to make a phone call to another friend of mine as to what's going on in the bowel movement, and so I'm going to take my leave. Good night, and hail victory.
All right, good night, and God bless you. Boy, this has been a very interesting night, Johnny. Very interesting.
You're the man to put up with that kind of stuff, man.
You got some patience,
Mr. Kim.
Believe me, if you go back like a few months ago, early in the year, you should be able to hear the conversation, because we had this conversation on different subjects.
I know it. I heard part of it.
Yeah. And in fact, I talked about it. In fact, on sortahead.com, I talked about it a little bit too. It's interesting. He's a very interesting gentleman, I tell you.
Gentlemen, you got a lot of manners calling that guy a gentleman.
Well,
you got some good manners. Your mama raised you right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very. I, being tolerant. Talking about being tolerant.
Talk about being tolerant, Minister Ken. They should that should be in the dictionary under tolerant, Mr. Mr. Ken. Oh man, that's enough to give you nightmares. I hope you don't have nightmares tonight, Mr. Ken.
Yeah,
that guy
know,
scares
he,
me.
That
scares me.
Yeah,
those guys don't just hate black people; they hate everybody.
Yeah, they do. Actually, they do. I mean, I kid you not. I mean, I've heard his program. I've tuned into his program, and just out of curiosity, what it was talking about, and the guy I went to kick his. American Voice said he would kick his butt.
You need to. Oh, I don't think that would help much.
Boy, I tell you.
If he saved his life, that might help.
Yeah. Change his mind and save his life.
If he saved his life, that might wake him up a little.
Yeah, at least a little. Because, God knows, folks like that you need to pray for.
Oh, man. You just can't call yourself a Christian and talk like that. It's just,
I know.
You just can't.
I know. It's and the bad part about it, he has pastor in front of his name.
Yeah, I know. And talk about how Christianity is a religion for the white man only. One question I have is, what is a white man? I don't qualify. I'm Scotch-Irish. I'm just about as white as paper, but I don't qualify in his book. It says, well, how do you qualify to be a white man? You can't attain that status.
Well, I don't qualify at all anyway, so like...
I'm as white as paper, and I don't qualify for him. That's just ridiculous. Oh,
don't
Jesus
feel bad.
Would slap him silly if he met him in an alley.
No, don't feel bad. I don't even qualify in his category anyway. So I'm like totally out the picture. You know, I'm just totally out the picture.
You notice I asked that question. What if Minister Ken wanted to join your church?
Yeah, I heard.
Did you hear that? I had to ask. I had to see what he'd say. You know, he likes you.
Hey, apparently, in fact, when I send the invitations out. I send an invitation out to everybody that's in my email, and especially those who follow the program. And apparently, he came on. I was like, believe it or not, I was totally surprised when he did call and he came in. I was totally shocked.
Yeah.
I was like, boy, let's see what he got to say this tonight.
Remember Archie Bunker, All in the Family?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember how he was a real big racist?
Yeah, he's what they call a bigot.
Yeah, but his best friend was black.
Yeah, yeah.
And he never even noticed.
Yeah.
That's how the guy kind of reminds me of Archie Bunker. You know, you could tell he likes you. It'd kill him to admit it, but you could tell the way he talks to you and stuff. He really likes you.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I must have grown on people for some reason. I don't know. For some reason, I just grow on people like moths. I don't know.
Oh, well, that's been something. I'm gonna have mercy on you and let you go. My phone's about to die. So.
Well, we ran, of course, folks, we ran late, but that's all right. It was worth it. Cause,
I'm going to take some snips of this and put it on the Iron Show, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's just fine. I mean, that is just fine with me. In fact, I wanted to ask you I want to play 1 week and have you play one of your programs, I think the latest one, you had Dr. Future on. I think.
Oh yeah, you like that one?
That was great. I played it on, I believe it was Labor Day. Labor Day weekend. I played it on Labor Day weekend. And it was great. I want to replay that again. And if it's okay with you, I want to retweet it on Nation Talk. To have it on Nation Talk again, because that was a great show. I like that. It ran a little long, but it was great. I like that. It was Labor Day, so it didn't matter. So it really didn't matter. So because I was just doing different programs and stuff, running programs and stuff, during the day. So
oh, you're always welcome.
Oh, okay, great. But I tell you, I appreciate you and Martin come on there. And Megan Porter, thanks for calling, thanks for tuning in, Truth Seeker. You know, you're welcome. This was a very entertaining night, I tell you.
Oh man, entertaining and brutal. I feel like a gladiator, all beat up and bruised.
I have conquered the world.
I could see myself going through that grassy meadow, you know.
Oh God! Whew, you need a breather after. Unless you turn to Jesus, it's not too late. No matter what you have done, He will forgive. He sure will. He sure will. I tell you, you know how some people get relief? They get a cigarette. They need after a good conversation like that, they need a cigarette.
Yeah, I think I need a whole pack after that. That was brutal. Oh, scary.
Man.
It's a good thing there's only a few of those guys around.
There's a few? Man, please, there's more than a few.
Oh, there's not that many.
He's just the first one I actually met.
I know. I know. I mean, it's the percent of the population, though. There's not that many.
Well, man.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know that's right. Thank God that's right.
Oh,
golly.
Good gravy.
Well, man, I tell you, I enjoy this. This has been great. I appreciate you coming in.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I wish I would have come in earlier. I was cleaning my car out, and I was like, oh, no. I looked at the clock, and I went, oh, no. I'm missing Nation Talk. I dialed in. I didn't know what was going on. I thought we were going to talk about Jesus. I saw Pastor up on the chat room board, Pastor Lichtstein. I thought, oh, cool. We're going to talk about Jesus. And coming on, this guy is going, wigger this, wigger the, talk about N-words everywhere. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Now I got to go by. This is either. I was.
Need a good. Now you need a shower after this.
Oh, I do. I feel really dirty. I do. I do need a shower. I do. I feel like this guy's slime has been spattered all over my body. I feel like I've taken out 10, 20 tons of garbage and I got it all over me.
I'm in here sweating. It's the heat. The air is off, but I'm hot.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, you sure have been patient and tolerant through the whole thing. It's amazing how you can stand up to that.
Well, that's a trait of a good interviewer.
It's the mark of a real Christian.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I got to get on your program one day, you know.
Yes. I was going to say that. I was just about to say that. We have to get you on.
Oh,
the
that
Iron
be great.
Show.
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. And by the way, tell Richard hello for me when you hear from him.
I will.
I already sent him a happy birthday thing to him already, so he'll be cool. He'll be all right.
Anyway,
he'll be all right.
He'll be all right. He'll be all right.
Yeah, I don't see him too much these days. He's gotten kind of busy on me, so definitely. But we'll definitely hook up and we'll get Nail and Iron Show with you. That'll be epic. So
yeah. Well,
looking forward to that.
With that note, well, I really appreciate you, and thanks again for you sure helped make the show. You and him sure made the show possible, I tell you.
And I'll see you next week.
Yep, next week as usual.
Okay, I'm out.
All right. Nation Talk is a... Boy, this has been an interesting program. This has been very interesting. The views and opinions of this program are not necessarily the views of TalkShoe, Jam Radio, SonaHead.com, and its sponsors. Next week, be sure to join me next week, same time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, for more of Nation Talk. Be sure to join me tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Eastern Time, for Morning Inspirations Jam on Jam Radio 2.1. Until next time, we'll see you tomorrow morning. God bless you and good night.